These are all times of fast food and slow indigestion, big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but divorce, fancier houses, broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway mortality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window, but not much in the stockroom.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the first half of How Can I Prosper in Today's World? So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of How Can I Prosper in Today's World?
If you have your Bibles, open to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And we're continuing on with our series dealing with burning questions in the hearts of God's people. And this morning we're dealing with the question, how can I prosper in today's world? How can I prosper in today's world? And as we get started, we're going to start out in Proverbs 10 and verse 22. Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That this is truly a sign of prosperity. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrow viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees, but less sense, more knowledge, but less judgment, more experts, yet more problems, more medicine, but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too much time recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get too tired, read too little, watch too much TV, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions, but we have reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living, not a life. We've added years to our life, but not life to our years. We've been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet a neighbor. We conquer outer space, but cannot conquer inner space. We have larger things, but not better things. We've cleaned up the air, but polluted our souls. We've conquered the atom, but our prejudice we have not. We write more, but learn less. We plan more, but accomplish less. We have learned to rush, but not to wait. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but less we communicate less and less. These are all times of fast food and slow indigestion, big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but divorce, fancier houses, broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway mortality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the showroom window, but not much in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring this letter to you, a time when you can choose to share the things that you hear this morning or just hit delete and keep them to yourself. We have more than we've ever had before, and yet and still we are less prosperous. We have bigger, taller, wider, deeper, but we are less prosperous. In our verse today, Proverbs 10 and verse 22, it lets us know that the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and with it he adds no sorrow. If you'll go to the next slide, please. And as we look at Proverbs 10 and verse 22, I tried to look at it in different translations. In the NIV, it says, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. The New American Standard says, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The Message, which I know some of you, not your favorite translation, the Message says, God's blessing makes life rich. Nothing we can do can improve on God. The Amplified Bible says, the blessing of the Lord brings true riches, and he adds no sorrow to it, for it comes as a blessing from God. I'm going to give you the Glaze translation, and that's the first point of our message today, the potentate of prosperity. This is the Glaze translation, and that is, the goodness of God upon a righteous person makes his or her life rich and prosperous. There is no sorrow in God's goodness, nor is there anything that can be done to add to it. That God is the author of prosperity. And that if he blesses us, if God places his blessings upon our lives, then we are blessed by the best. The goodness of God upon a righteous person's life makes his or her life rich and prosperous. And there is no sorrow, absolutely no sorrow in God's blessing. That you don't have to wonder how you're going to meet a monthly note when it's God's blessings. You don't have to worry about it breaking down all the time and have to fix it when it's God's blessings. God, the Bible says that God has no sorrow, no frustration, no problems with his blessing. And there's nothing you can do to add to God's blessing or take away from God's blessing. So he is the potentate of prosperity. And you need to realize that. You know, as we go on this message, in this message today, that in your heart, hopefully you will resolve that it's not the boss, it's not the bank, it's not some wealthy fat cat, but God is the potentate. He is the one who blesses, and he is the one who gives us prosperity. And that as I look for prosperity, yeah, I look to my job for to be paid. Yeah, I look for others to bless me, but I look to God for my prosperity, because I know if I get it from him, that the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and with it, he adds absolutely no sorrow at all. And so let's look at the profile of prosperity. The profile of prosperity. That one who is prosperous, according to the book of Proverbs, we see six things. And I've gone through Proverbs, and I tried to look at these verses, and we're going to look at some of them a little bit later on. But I tried to look at some of the verses that profile prosperity. And if you are prosperous, these are some of the things that are characteristic of your life. First thing we see is riches. Now, when we say riches, that we're just not talking about, you know, having a bunch of possessions in your home. We're not talking about having a bunch of money in the bank. We're not talking about a lot of money in your wallet. But we are talking about the fact that you are rich in the values of life, that you have treasures in your home, that some things, you ever hear, well, one man's trash is another man's treasure. And so there are things in your home that are absolutely worthless to anybody else. But to you, you know, they are a treasure. You know, I got an old pair of shoes that, I mean, they are so comfortable. And when I'm at home, I put those things on. And anybody else would look at them and say, man, you need to throw those in the trash. But that's my treasure. And so when we are walking with God, when we are right with God, no matter how big our home is, no matter how small our home is, no matter what we have in our home, that the things that we have are valuable and that we treasure them. And so when we are prosperous, that we all can look around and see things that we treasure. And perhaps the greatest treasure that we have is the people that are with us. And we need to treasure, and we need to value, you know, those that we are in relationship with. Sometimes we put such a low premium on that we miss the boat. We see that honor is a treasure. Honor is a treasure, according to Proverbs 22 and verse 4. A person who has honor is one that is worthy of respect, and that is a sign of prosperity. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 1, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. So what this is saying is that you can live, you can be born into wealth and riches, and you can live a life of riches. But if you die with a bad name, if you die with a lack of honor, if you die as a disrespected person, what has your life been worth? You know, you've heard the story about the man who passed away, and his brother came, and you know, there was a church. And let me say this, you know, because the church, they were trying to build a new sanctuary, all right, like we are. And so praise God, we had our meeting on Thursday, and it was a blessing. We were able to go down there, present our plans. They received them. You know, it seemed like all went well. And so now we're just in a waiting phase. We're waiting to hear back from the city at this point. So at some point, you know, we're going to get that letter in the mail that says, go ahead. And, you know, we're still, it might be too late when we get it, because they said up to 45 days. So it might be too late when we get it to actually break ground this year. So, you know, we are going to gear up for the spring. And again, you know, hopefully by this time next year, moving into the end of next year, that we will be in our new sanctuary. So we praise God and just continue to pray for favor. But there was a guy, you know, they were a new church, and the one guy came up to the pastor. This would be very tempting, right? He said, you know, my brother just died. He said, you know, I'll give you the rest of the money for that new church if you say something nice about my brother. Now, the problem was is that his brother was, you know, I mean, he cheated folks, he robbed folks, he was a conniver, he was a schemer. And so, you know, the pastor, like I said, was very tempting because he was going to build that new church. And so the pastor said, okay, he said, okay, I'll say something good about your brother at the funeral tomorrow. And so he got up and started the eulogy, and he said that, speaking of the man who died, he said he was a no good, low down, rotten, dirty scandal, but compared to his brother, he's a saint. So some people die with not very much honor. And just think, how valuable is your name to you? Would you sell your soul? Would you sell your name for riches? The writer of Ecclesiastes said, it's better to come to your grave, come to your deathbed, and have a name that's honorable, have a name that's respected. And you know what? If that's the case, then you, my friend, are prosperous. See, the world has a different kind of concept of prosperity. But if you labor to have a good name, if you labor to be a person of honor, the Bible says that you are prosperous. Overflowing provision. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Overflowing provisions. He says, in verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That when you honor the Lord, that he will provide all the things that you need. And it might be so that the Lord might just bless you abundantly. But one of the things that God has promised, he has promised to meet all of our needs and not all of our greeds. But even in the midst of meeting our needs, that God will fill up our storehouse. And that he may even allow, and I'm going to show you a picture of that in a second, he may allow our presses to overflow with wine. According to Proverbs 11:28, we have emotional and physical health. That's prosperity. The fact that you are able to come here this morning, the fact that you are able to sit here today, the fact that you are able to take in this message that's being preached, that shows that you are prosperous. There's a whole lot of folk that couldn't get here today. A whole lot of folk that didn't make it. But you made it, and you ought to praise God this morning. You ought to thank God that, you know, so sometimes we complain about pain. I've got a new philosophy on that. We ought to thank God that we can feel the pain. Thank God that I can feel it. You know, I don't want it. I don't receive it. I told one, when I first came to Bethany, I was ministering to one of the saints, and I told her, I said, well, you know, sister, you ought to be thankful that the Lord gave us pain, because it shows that, you know, we still have feeling. And she said, well, Pastor, I really don't want to feel this, so you can pray something else for me. But God, you are prosperous. The fact that you are here, you're sitting here today, that's prosperity. And we overlook that. We tend to look down the road at what we don't have and lust for the things that are, that God might not want us to have. But we are prosperous in health, emotional health, physical well-being. And then we see that we can be prosperous in good things in every area of life. And we have Proverbs 16:20, Proverbs 19:8, Proverbs 22:4, Proverbs 28:10. So I kind of put them all together, and I said this: the one who is prosperous, according to Proverbs 16:20, is happy. The one who is prosperous experiences good things. The one who is prosperous enjoys life to the full, and the one who is prosperous possesses good things. Possesses good things. You know, we want the big ticket things. We want the big roller items. But God says that if we possess good things, that we are prosperous. And at the end of the day, when I go home, and I sit down in my house that God has blessed me with, the roof that God has put over my head, and I'm able to sit down on my couch and put my back back on the back of that couch, at the end of the day, I can say, Lord, you've been mighty good to me. You've been mighty good. And in that, you are prosperous. And that's what Proverbs says, that you are prosperous. Now, as we continue looking through the book of Proverbs, let's look at some pictures of prosperity. The first thing, he says that prosperity in Proverbs 11:28 is like a leaf. Look at that leaf. Look at the health of that leaf. Look at the life in that leaf. As a matter of fact, let's look at Proverbs 11:28. Proverbs 11:28. It says, he that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish like a branch. The NIV says like a leaf. That you will flourish in your life. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. Its leaf shall not wither. Watch this. And whatever he does shall prosper. He shall see it to a successful completion. That if God has put it in your spirit to go to school, and he's going to help you complete that, and in the end, you will be prosperous. If God blesses you to be able to buy a car, to buy a home, and to make payments on it, and God has guided you, and God has directed you, you know what? He's going to bring it to completion. He's going to allow you to prosper, that you will be like a leaf. Prosperity is like a leaf. Now, all you got to do, saints, is go outside right now and look at the trees. And what do you see in the trees? You see brown leaves. You see leaves falling to the ground. Those are dead leaves. But God said, you're not a dead leaf. He said that you are a green leaf, full of life and full of vigor. The picture of prosperity, a leaf. The second thing we see is that Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, a picture of prosperity is what? Barns filled and overflowing wine presses. Wow. That you relate. You know, it's good. You know, I enjoy spending time with my grandkids. And, you know, yesterday after we had a leadership meeting here, deaconess retreat. And afterwards, my wife and my two grandkids, they met us at Eaton Park. And my grandson, he's 3 years old. As a matter of fact, when y'all sing that song Awesome, that boy can sing that song. I might have to get him in here one day to sing that song for y'all. He can sing. But we were at Eaton Park, and he was climbing over the seat. And I kept telling him to sit down. And he would sit down for a little while, and then he would start climbing again. And my daughter, Rachel, you know, she can pop him back in line real quick. And so he got up. And I said, where's my phone at? I said, I'm going to call your mother. I said, Rachel, you need to come over here. And my wife and Casey started laughing. And I wondered why they were laughing. And they said, Pop, you got your phone upside down. But God gives us. Even times like that, prosperous, enjoyable times. And so we seek for some wealth, we seek for some riches, and God has prospered us in the people that he has put in our lives. He has prospered us in the relationships around us. He has filled our barns, and he has allowed our vats to overflow. And we need to see that. And sometimes it is financially that our barns are filled. Sometimes it is financially that our vats overflow. But more often than not, our barns and vats are filled and overflow with so many things that are right around us, and we miss the blessings that God has given us. Another image in Proverbs of prosperity is Proverbs 8:21. He will fill your treasuries. Now again, you know, the idea here is, you know, from a financial perspective, but even much more than finances, will God fill your treasuries? And then I like this last one. It says that he will fatten your soul. Now, I know some of y'all don't believe it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of How Can I Prosper in Today's World? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How Can I Prosper in Today's World? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, How Can I prosper in today's world. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, How Can I Prosper in Today's World? Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.